is Over the Garden Gate, a program brought to you by the University of California Cooperative Extension Master Gardener Program of Tuolumne County. The mission of the UCCE Master Gardeners is to provide research-based gardening information to the public. If you would like to contact our Master Gardener Program, please call our hotline, which is area code 209-533-5912. The hotline is not manned full-time, but we do pick up our messages and we will get back to you within the week.
Hello everybody, this is Debbie Powell, Master Gardener Coordinator for both Calaveras and Tuolumne Counties, and I am at the Sonora office talking to Lisa Page, who is the president of the Master Gardeners and also does so much work with the demonstration garden and is in charge of the demonstration garden. So hello, Lisa.
Hi, Debbie.
How are you doing?
I'm doing great, thank you.
Oh, good. One of the things we're going to talk about today is about seeds.
Seed catalogs,
yes. So it's not actually seeds, but seed catalogs. And do you really use seed catalogs or a lot, or do you go to the store? I mean, because now is the time.
I've been using seed catalogs. When I moved up to Sonora in 1990, in September of 1990, and I started my first garden at home in 1991. And back then it was Burpee Catalogs and Michigan Bulb Company and Johnny Seeds. They were all East Coast seed companies.
Okay.
There wasn't a lot of heirlooms in the catalogs back in the early 90s. I think I must have seen it in the back of a Mother Earth news magazine for a company called Territorial Seed Company. And they're in a place called the Willamette Valley in Oregon, and I thought, you know, it'd be really nice to get seeds from somebody on this coast.
Oh, yeah.
Because it made more sense to me.
Sure.
You know, because I have no idea what the growing conditions are on the East Coast, but I'm sure it's nothing like what we've got going on over here as far as all, you know, take
your
pick.
I'm pretty sure it's different, just watching the weather reports.
Right,
it seems like it's...
I don't know how they get to grow anything, honestly, but that's
I know.
So I started with those seed companies, and back then it was just catalogs. There wasn't online seed. There wasn't
a whole lot
of online anything at that point, if I recall.
You know what? You're right. Everything was catalogs.
So I called them up, and I had them send me a catalog, and I think that's what introduced me first to the heirloom tomatoes that I grow today, was through that company. There was also a second company at the time that was in that same valley called Nichols Garden Seed Company. They don't put out a catalog anymore, actually. They were a bit smaller than Territorial. So I just, at the time, just started ordering from Territorial. It was exciting. I got to try varieties of tomatoes I'd never heard of.
Wow.
Or seen, you know. Some of them brought back memories of my childhood of what must have been probably heirlooms at the time.
Sure.
You know, the big pink beefsteaks must have been something like a Brandywine or something
right.
like that. But so it started with that, and fast forward to today, I mean, well, I'd say, I don't know when they started. Everybody started moving their catalogs to online. It must have been in the 2000s, I'm guessing.
2000s, yeah.
Mid-2000s.
Yeah, something like that.
So I was still reluctant, and I still love Territorial. The bonus about their catalogs is they've always got great cultural information about when to start your seeds. You know, the cultural practices, you know, how many weeks to start inside, you know, prior to planting out, when to harvest. And I thought, you know, there's a wealth of knowledge just in their catalogs.
Oh, it sure sounds like
it. So I've probably got some sitting stashed at home from back then. Who knows? I always... So they started sending me one for spring and one for fall. Mm-hmm.
That makes sense.
And Nichols, too. There were other companies that I, once again, I pretty sure I found in the back of either Mother Earth News or Organic Gardening magazine. Another one was Abundant Life. It was I think they're still around. They have a lot of herb seeds and medicinal herb seeds.
Okay.
At the time, not being a master gardener, being new to gardening in the foothills. And I ordered something like, for instance, tansy.
Okay.
Bad idea.
Uh-oh.
It actually still grows today in my yard
from when
I planted it back then. It reseeds so readily. And if you've ever grown something like feverfew is another one.
Yeah.
It can be really invasive.
Yeah. It's pretty.
It's very pretty. So is the tansy. Fortunately,
the tansy's pretty.
I grew the tansy because it was supposed to help repel ants from fruit trees.
Oh.
So my little go at growing fruit trees, I had planted it in a spot where I had planted a fruit tree. Well, it got taller than the fruit tree.
Ah.
Fruit tree died, but the tansy's still there. So I am assuming it probably works for ants. I don't know. I never really got to experience that far. But things like valerian and hyssop.
Okay.
I got seeds way back then from them. And I think their mission is to, every seed packet you bought, they used to donate seeds to poorer countries to help them grow seeds. So I think they still put out, it was just a paper catalog with hand-drawn pictures.
Right.
And.
How about the cost? Was it a lot more expensive to order from the seed catalogs?
Well, when you get a little carried away, it's the price has gone up significantly now compared to back then. I mean, I think back then you would get a packet of seeds for maybe a dollar or something. I think the highest amount you might have paid was $2 for, depending on what kind of seed it was.
Okay.
How many seeds you would get, you know. And that's the other thing good about it. It'll tell you the weight, but it'll also tell you, like in territorial, it'll say a quarter gram has approximately, you know, 100 seeds if it's tomatoes or something like that. And you could also, if you were, I think it was set up too, if you were a small farmer, that you could order like a quarter pound or, oh goodness, I can't even imagine ordering a quarter pound of tomato seeds of any variety, but... Even with territorial, I've watched them evolve into more heirlooms. And I wasn't introduced to, there's a wonderful catalog put out by Baker's Creek. If you go online, you look up rareseeds.com. And all they sell is heirlooms.
Oh.
And I must have been introduced to that when I worked the first seed share.
Okay.
I think, back in 2009. My first year as a master gardener.
Quite a while ago.
And talk about heirlooms, there was things I'd never seen before, and the pictures are just absolutely gorgeous.
So it's inspiring.
It's very inspiring.
You want to grow all those things.
Now, mind you, I love their catalog and their pictures and all the different varieties, but I find it a little lacking in the cultural information.
Okay.
And whereas with every territorial tomato listed, they'll put open pollinated or hybrid or whatever, and some in days to harvest. And sometimes in some of the listings in the Baker's Creek catalog, they seem to not put that. So if you're new to gardening, my suggestion would be to get a territorial seed company catalog to use as your guide for planting. It's an easy, quick reference. You can carry it out in the garden with you. I mean,
oh, nice.
You know,
wait, are you getting ready to order seeds?
Probably more towards the end of the month. They come pretty quick when you order from, especially when you order from this coast.
Okay.
Now, honestly, Baker's Creek has they actually have a location in Petaluma, but they're centered in Missouri.
Okay.
I actually called one time, and I had actually talked to one of the farmers. It was quite interesting.
I bet.
I don't do that part, but, you know, email so-and-so, and then when you go online now, it opens up the thing so much wider.
Right.
As with all the catalogs that I find nowadays, because I used to be inundated this time of year with Christmas catalogs, you know, from every kind of company.
Yeah.
You order from one and you get 9 zillion catalogs.
Yeah.
that's slimmed down over the years, thank goodness. But, you know, I know there's many more. I know that Seed Savers Exchange is another catalog that I have not actually. I should probably try to get one of those. But there's Johnny Seeds now that they're still on the East Coast, I believe.
Okay. But primarily you order all your heirloom tomato seeds
between Territorial and Baker's
and
Creek.
And Baker's Creek. How about maybe if you're planting squash, where do you order squash?
Same thing. You know, usually most squash comes in a hybrid form.
Okay.
I've found there are some open pollinated, listed in Territorial, whereas Baker's Creek tends to have what you would find more hybrid. Your old yellow crooknecks is a heirloom. But when it comes to zucchinis and maybe a gold zucchini or I found a almost white zucchini, they called it.
Wow.
It was a pale yellow called Cube of Butter. It was,
ooh,
yeah.
That sounds really...
And every patty pan color squash you can imagine was in Baker's Creek, but you can only plant so much when you have limited space.
Right, right.
Mind you, I try to fit as much as possible in. And how much squash can a family of three eat, honestly?
Well,
you
so
can donate. You
can eat quite a bit if you just...
you get creative, yeah. Find every squash recipe possible.
Right.
But that's when you can donate to your local food banks and stuff like that.
Yeah, which is always a great thing to do.
So I went ahead and I saw a book called, I think it's put out by Seed Savers Exchange, actually, and I can't remember to this day where I got it because I got it back in the 90s and I bought so many gardening books.
Mm-hmm.
But it's a seed saver book to teach you how to save your own seeds from just about anything. And so I probably should one of these days try to check out the Seed Savers catalog, but Focus orders their seeds from Seed Savers because they can get them in large bulk to package them up to have available to the public during the seed share, which happens every February, third week in February. So look out for that. That's a good place.
That's a great
I also
place.
Started picking up seeds there because $1 for a pack of seeds.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it may not be as full as a, you know, some of the heirlooms that nowadays are up to $4 a pack.
Oh, really?
I bought my son some, he got really interested in really hot chili peppers.
Oh.
And he was watching me on the computer looking at the Baker's Creek catalog. And he's going, ooh, I want to try that pepper. I think it was $3, $4 for like 10 seeds.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
So you're like, I don't want to mess this up.
Right, right.
But the idea with that is if it's open pollinated, which I'd say 98% of the things in there are more than 98% are all heirloom, which means they're open pollinated, which means you can save the seeds and then you can grow your own from your own seeds.
Okay.
And when you do that, each year that you save seeds from, let's say, a tomato, like Cherokee Purples, I've been doing that for many years. That's a tomato that I love.
And you save those seeds?
Yeah, I've been saving those since the mid-90s, I'd say.
Oh, my gosh.
And each year that you save them from that year's tomato, it becomes more acclimatized to your particular microclimate.
Oh.
So I found that really interesting. And
that
I
is
thought
interesting.
That would be totally cool to do.
Yeah.
My hard part is when I start looking at the seed catalogs is that every year I'll see it, I want to try a different kind of tomato.
Oh.
Or I want to try a different kind of squash.
And there's always new varieties?
Uh-huh.
Every year?
Well, a lot of times. One year I was, Baker's Creek had a white tomato.
Oh my gosh.
I got to grow this.
I've
this
never
is just
seen
too,
that.
This is just too cool. I got to
say,
I got to grow this. It was, some heirlooms are extremely difficult. They're very picky. Heirlooms can be, if your soil isn't perfect, which I really truly don't think that that's possible, but some people are able to get closer, and at times we're all able to get closer, then they can be more susceptible to diseases and attacks from other things. So I managed to get a couple of tomatoes out of it, and they were delicious.
Wow.
I saved the seeds from it. but I didn't have that many. So the next year, they didn't have that particular same white tomato, but they had other ones.
Oh.
They have green tomatoes. I tried that. You know, multicolored stripes.
That sounds like exciting. So much fun. That is exciting.
And then another way that I started saving seeds was going to the local farmers markets and talking to the farmers.
Oh.
And say, oh, is this an heirloom? And they'd say yes. Mm-hmm. And I'd say, okay, so it's open pollinated. And they're like, yes. Yeah. So I could save seeds from those. And I came across one years ago called a yellow Belgian, which is absolutely delicious.
Sounds wonderful. You're not going to believe it, Lisa.
We're out of time. I could talk about seeds forever.
I know you could. So it will be fun to look forward to seed catalogs and see what's new for the coming season and possibly order some seeds. So Lisa, thank you for all the great information.
Thank you, Debbie.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
This is KAADLP 103.5 FM, Sonora, California.
Hello, this is Debbie Powell. I'm the Master Gardener Coordinator for both Calaveras and Tuolumne County, and I am talking to our Calaveras Master Gardener named Myron Kelso. Hello, Myron.
Hello, Debbie.
It's good to see you.
Thank you. It's a pleasure being here. In fact, you don't know how much pleasure this gives me.
Oh, good, good. Well, Myron is the only Master Gardener in our two counties that actually attended a Train the Trainer workshop. And it was regarding the Asian citrus psyllid and Hung Long Bing insect. So he's here to share some of the information because it's something that not a lot of people have heard about. So my first question to Myron is, what is Asian citrus psyllid and Hung Long Bing?
Asian citrus psyllid is a small insect about the size of an aphid. It is vectored or carries the Hung Long Bing disease, which is also called yellow dragon disease. That's what Hung Long Bing is referencing. It's also called citrus greening disease. The insect itself is not really the problem. It's the bacterium that causes the citrus and related plants to yellow, become deformed, including the fruit, and the fruit won't mature. And once the HLB is in a tree, it'll rob the tree of the capacity to nourish itself. The tree will lose its nutrients, and eventually it will die. HLB is fatal to the citrus trees.
Yikes. So where did this originate from?
Well, the psyllid is thought to have come from Asia or possibly India. It's spread over the years worldwide. It was first detected in the United States and Florida in 1998 on an ornamental orange jessamine tree, which is a closely related bush to the citrus family. It carried the HLB and it spread rapidly throughout the state. Eventually, it infected over 50% of the commercial citrus crops in Florida. It has since spread through the southern states to include Texas, New Mexico, and I believe even Arizona.
So is this the only insect that lives on citrus?
Well, that's a good question. No, there are many insects that like citrus plants. For example, leaf miner and peel miner moths are present in the foothills. They feed on the citrus leaves, similar to what the ACP does. The ACP is referring to Asian citrus psyllid. They're similar in size, but they can be identified by their color, wings, and the damage they cause. There are many other insects that are beneficial insects you need to be aware of so that if you find them on your trees, you'll know what treatment is necessary, if there's treatment necessary.
So that leads to what damage does a leaf miner or peel miner cause?
A leaf miner will live inside the leaf of a citrus. You can identify their presence by tunnels meandering around on the leaf. You may also see the nymph in the leaf. The peel miner also leaves a visible trail on the skin of the fruit.
So is the leaf miner and peel miners, are they dangerous?
Well, not in the long term, and they're not dangerous to humans. What they do is cosmetic damage to the leaf and to the skin of the fruit. The trees are very resilient, and the deformed leaves will be replaced. The fruit that you see is still edible, but you may not see this damaged fruit in the marketplace, as growers tend to discard fruit that it shows more than 25% of the damage from the peel miner. In other words, if 25% of the skin is covered with the tunnels. There's many beneficial insects that kill the leaf miner or the peel miner, so biological controls are recommended over chemical control.
So how do I know if my citrus tree has ACP or HLB?
The visual presence of ACP does not mean your tree has HLB. The ACP is the psyllid, and it can be found on mature leaves of the tree, usually on the underside of the leaf. They can be identified by their red eyes and the characteristic 45-degree angle of the body when they feed on the leaf. The rear end will stick up in the air at 45 degrees. HLB, when present, is a bacterium inside the tree. It can take up to 2 years to show physical symptoms, such as yellowing leaves, fruit that doesn't change from green to yellow or to orange, and when you cut open the fruit, it's deformed and it has a bad taste.
Are there, by any chance, any other signs of the presence of ACP?
Yes, there are. You should look for at the flush, which is the new growth on the end of the branches. ACPs lay their eggs in that new flush, and one can lay up to 400 eggs during their life cycle. The eggs develop through 5 stages through the nymphs to adults. The nymphs will only be found when the tree is producing new leaves. They can't eat the older leaves, so you only find them in the new flush. The adults can live anywhere on the tree. When you look at the flush, use a magnifying glass and look for the small nymphs, yellowish in color with red eyes. You will also see curly white strands. This is waste matter that is only associated with ACP nymphs. The presence of ants may also be a telltale sign. The ants collect the honeydew secreted by the nymphs.
HLB creates a nutrient deficiency. Can you explain that?
Yes. As I stated earlier, HLB is a bacterium that blocks the nutrient transport, affecting the tree growth, the fruit production, and the survival of the tree. It can take 2 or more years for the HLB to become visible through blotchy, irregular yellowing of the leaves, small deformed fruit with poor flavor, tree stunting, excessive fruit drop, and tree mortality in as little as 5 years.
So you mentioned yellowing of leaves. What are the signs to look for?
Well, that's a nutrient deficiency caused by the lack of magnesium, manganese, zinc, and other minerals. That's what causes the yellowing. If the changes in color are symmetrical, in other words, if you look at a leaf on both sides of the leaf, it's the same, it's likely only a nutrient problem. HLB will cause asymmetrical or blotchy mottling. If you look at a leaf, one half will not be a mirror image of the other half of the leaf. This blotchy, asymmetrical yellowing of the citrus leaves is an early sign of HLB, and it will worsen as the disease develops.
So what can a homeowner do to prevent ACP or HLB?
Homeowners should monitor their citrus trees on a monthly basis, especially when there's new growth present. The ACPs can only be controlled by use of chemical spray. If you find ACPs on your tree, use insecticidal soap or oils to control the nymphs. The soaps don't work on the eggs, only on the nymphs. The oils will work on the eggs, the nymphs, and the psyllids. Please use it according to the label instructions. More is not better. These products must make contact with the insect to be effective. Use of malathion or 7 are moderately effective and last weeks instead of days as compared to the soaps or oils. Commercial spray solutions applied by a professional can last several months.
Can I just use water to remove the psyllids?
Yes, you can, but be aware that you have to use a moderately high pressure hose and be able to penetrate the new growth area to knock off the eggs and the nymphs. ACPs have wings and some will fly away to live another day. Water is more effective if used with soaps or oils, but be aware of overwatering, which can damage the plant if it's done too often or too vigorously.
Now, can't a homeowner just cut off the new growth to prevent the ACP from laying the eggs?
You can, however, pruning or hand removal of the new shoots, which is called the flesh, may temporarily decrease the ACPs, excuse me. The citrus tree will respond by producing more flesh and new growth. Pruning is labor intensive, it creates extra work for the homeowner, and you may have a longer term negative effect on the plant because it may actually increase the number of Asian citrus psyllids.
You know what, can I still buy and plant citrus trees in California?
Yes, you can. There are quarantine areas in California now, including parts of San Joaquin and Stanislaus counties. Any tree that has a blue or yellow ACP tag attached cannot be moved from the quarantine area. You should buy trees that are produced outside of the quarantine area.
Now, you mentioned quarantine areas. Can you explain a little bit about that?
Well, the ACP was first found in California in 2008. It came in through Mexico and was first found in Southern California. The monitoring of the area down there eventually found a citrus tree with HLB. The one tree was removed and a half-mile quarantine was placed around the area. That quarantine has now been extended to 21 counties in the state. The Asian citrus psyllid quarantine area is now 53,087 square miles, which is one-third of the state. The HLB quarantine area is approximately 180 square miles in Los Angeles, Orange, Riverside, and San Bernardino counties. So the problem is continuing to get larger.
Yeah, gosh, it is. What is being done to manage ACP and limit HLB in California?
There's a lot of programs in place right now. Federal government has some. The state has the biggest one, and there's even some opportunities or management being done by the universities. The statewide monitoring is mostly for residential and commercial trapping and inspection of nurseries and the treatment of residential citrus. If you have an area with a quarantine, they'll put out traps and they'll start looking for the ACPs in the trap, and I'll explain a little bit more about that in a minute. If the homeowner suspects the presence of an Asian citrus psyllid or HLB, they should call the local Ag Commissioner office or the California Department of Food and Agriculture hotline. The hotline number is 800-491-1899. I mentioned earlier there was some research being done by the UCs. UC Riverside is the primary location in California because of the HLB and the ACPs being present in Southern California. They are trying to find a way to control the spread of the HLB. A recent development is the creation of a pheromone to attract the ACPs to a trap. This will reduce the numbers, but more research is needed to stop HLB.
Hmm. Is there any source for more information on ACP and HLB?
The University of California Agricultural Natural Resources website is a great place to get more information. You can download brochures that include identification and control for the Asian citrus psyllid. There's many photos on the website that will really help you readily identify the Asian citrus psyllid and or HLB if it's present in your plants. You can also visit the website at ipm.ucdavis.edu for more information.
Well, Myron, this has been great information. I really appreciate it because nobody is talking about it. So it's great to get this information. I sure appreciate you being here today. And if we can, would you come back again sometime?
I appreciate the opportunity to spread the word. I understand that it is a subject that isn't of great interest to some people. But if you have an orchard or even a single tree in your yard and it's a citrus tree, you should be concerned about this. It's only 2 miles from the county line now with the San Joaquin and Stanislaus quarantine areas. So we should be looking for it on a regular basis, especially during the new growth of the trees in our yards. And yes, I'd be happy to come back and do another show with you.
All right. Well, thank you so much, Myron.
Thank you.
Goodbye.
Goodbye.
You've been listening to Over the Garden Gate, a program presented by the UCCE Master Gardeners of Tuolumne County. I'm Linda Reevely. Thank you for being with us. If you would like to contact us for more information, remember you can contact our hotline, which is area code 209-533-5912, or you can look us up on the kaad-lp.org website